7:02 p.m.
Your watchman should be fast. Mine says 7.
Okay.
Okay.
Off the computer.
Well, I will then proceed. What? I will then call to order the August 2022 meeting of the Board of Directors of the Livermore Area Recreation and Park District, August 31st. I apologize for that. Roll call.
It's Director Pierpont.
I am here.
Director Boswell.
Here.
Director Palajak.
Here.
Director First.
Here.
Chair Faltings.
Here.
All present and accounted for.
Good, thank you. If you would then please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. Agenda item number 2 is public comment. This is for members of the public attending the meeting who wish to comment on an item that is not on the agenda. Do we have anyone who wishes to speak? Linda?
Chair Faltings, I do not see any members of the public present.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, then we will move along to agenda item number 3, which is the consent agenda. We have 3 items. The resolution authorizing us to do this meeting via the internet, and minutes from August 10 and minutes from August 24. Does anybody have anything they want to change or reconsider? No? Okay, then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda, and the minutes for the meeting in the park were excellent.
Second.
Oh, Jan, is that you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, we have a motion by Director First, a second by Director Palajak to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. It has to be a roll call vote.
Boswell?
Aye.
Director Pierpont?
Aye.
Director Palajak?
Aye.
Director First?
Aye.
Chair Faltings?
Aye.
Roll call passes 5-0 on the consent calendar.
Thank you. Agenda item 4 is discussion and action items. 4.1 is LERPD's role in the arts community. The board will review and discuss LERPD's mission statement as it relates to the art community. Mr. General Manager?
Yes, thank you. This item was put on at a request of the program committee, since we have several issues coming up in the near future regarding the arts community. We have our master property agreement, which I'm certain this issue will come up. We have the Bothwell building lease, in which this is a discussion item. And we have a community, the city of Livermore has hired a consultant to do a study and write a report on the state of the commitment to arts in the community of Livermore and surrounding areas. And I'm certain that's going to be coming out in the fall. And so this item was discussed at program committee and is being brought to the full board for discussion of what our appropriate role is within the arts community in Livermore. I'll turn it back to you, Chair.
Jan, you want to start since your chair program?
Why don't you let me talk, because you're cutting in and out. So at our
that's what I said.
Okay.
Since you're chair of program, why don't you go with it? Yeah.
Okay. At our last program committee meeting, one of the items that I had added to the agenda was basically what's LARPD's role as it relates to the arts. And the reason that came up for me is because this year I've been LARPD's liaison to the LCAC, and it's my first year doing it, and I haven't been able to figure out how and why we are on that particular organization as a liaison. So I went back and read our mission statement for LARPD, and we don't have arts in there. That's not one of the things that we have at least said that we were going to have as part of our mission. And I think that it looks as though the city is probably going to take a much more active role in the arts. And if that's the case, then I think that LARPD can back off a little bit. We can't be everything to everybody. So I think we need to be a little bit more focused on what our mission is and what we're trying to provide. And I don't know if you want to chime in, Mary Alice, or if you're
kind of bad. You bet. I absolutely agree with you.
Okay.
The reason we're involved at all is because we're passionate about this and we acquiesced. But I totally agree with you that it's not part of our mission statement. We need to be concentrating on what our name is, parks and recreation.
So with that said, between the two of us, I ask that this be brought to the whole board, and that perhaps we can, I don't know if we can do it tonight, but perhaps we can at least discuss what we think our role is, and whether we want to remain involved or if we want to wait for the city's report to come in on the arts and who's doing what. Or so looks like Phil's got his hand up. So
let's hear from the other three. Phil's got his hand up. Go for it.
Yeah, I guess I was up first. I want to say, first of all, that I don't think that this is an issue that is a yes or no, all or nothing, 0-1 type decision. The degree to which we support the arts community, I agree, is definitely something we should evaluate in an ongoing way. But to say that things like art and music and that kind of stuff are not part of recreation, to me, sounds bizarre. Now, that said, that's a programming question about, you know, teaching, having art classes or writing classes or music things or providing a forum or fora for music or something like that. That's altogether a little bit different than sort of subsidizing it through property that we own that we maybe not getting anywhere near its value from. I can separate that, but I do, however, think that to say our mission statement doesn't envision arts, I just don't buy that. I mean, I definitely could say it doesn't envision childcare or things like that. And I say that with all due respect, because I mean, I'm a parent of young children. I'm just saying that that's historically been a part of us. But if we're going to go on words and that kind of semantics here, I mean, I certainly think arts are painting or drawing or writing or music or recreation. And, you know, I mean, I think that's a lot clearer connection than maybe childcare. But I mean, I think that's a great thing that we do. So I don't feel that. But I think the main point I'm trying to make here is that I just don't think it's a binary 1-0 decision. I'm not sure why we're on the liaison to the LCAC either. However, again, I will say that I like as an agency that is a part of our vibrant community, I do like having a connection to the various parts of our community. I think at times we've missed sitting at certain tables, like the one about the downtown development and which involved green space and stuff like that, that we've not been a part of that discussion. So anytime we're have our feelers out or are involved just in, you know, in our involvement somehow, I don't object to, because I could certainly, you know, the, we're a liaison to the Livermore Downtown Association too. I mean, clearly that connection is a little bit soft as well. It's not like they're doing stuff in our parks. So, you know, I really do think that that life enjoyment, lifelong learning, and healthy active lifestyles, you know, to me involves hiking and biking, and it involves you know, playing guitar and doing a bunch of other stuff too. So I don't know. I just, that's my two cents. I don't mean to babble on for it, but I understand the pressure. I don't feel like there's an obligation to overly subsidize or anything like that. I certainly like the city taking a role in this, but I don't look at it as something that we're not at all engaged in. So that's it for me.
Okay, thank you. David?
I had a question for Jill. Within our programs, which used to come out in the brochure, but within our programs, ballpark, how many of our classes are art related, music, dance, etc.? Ballpark percentage or numbers?
I couldn't off the top of my head give you a percentage, but in the summer for camps, we offer various dance camps. We offer messy art. We offer a variety of youth type programs. We also offer some art with our older adult programs. And we do that throughout the year, but I could find a percentage for you if you would like. I can't just tell you off the top of my head though.
Okay, because it seems to me that if historically we've provided arts and music in our classes, in our programs, then we are involved in the arts. But that's all for now.
Mary Alice, okay, can I chime in?
Thank you.
Mary Alice.
Mary Alice.
Let's hear from James.
Yeah, I agree with David and Phil.
James?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to reiterate, I agree with David and Phil. I think that over the years, it's been many classes in the programs that we provide that include arts, not only for elderly people, but also for younger kids in the community. But maybe in the context of what Jan is talking about, maybe it's not going every month to the meeting, but making it bi-monthly or quarterly. So at least we have that connection there if needed. Or we end up in a CC type arrangement where they copy us on that. If Jan, if you feel like it's every month is not or is too much time on the committee, but we can get the information another way. But I happen to agree with Phil and David. We do a lot of work with both elderly and younger kids in the arts area, and have for many years.
Okay, Jan.
Yeah, so I think we were looking at it from a different perspective from the three that were just brought up, not from teaching or having art classes or music, but more from the facilities that we are providing that are subsidizing some of the other arts providers. And I think that's more of what we were looking at it from that perspective. As far as LCAC goes, they only meet every other month. It's not, you know, it's not a hardship to go to their meetings or anything. And they're also right now in the process of perhaps changing their bylaws and having certain members be voting members and other members not. And that's where some of this comes from, because from my perspective, we should just be a member of the or LCAC, but not voting, not a voting member. So I know that David First has a different perspective on that.
Well, I want to chime in too and echo what Jan said. We were talking about those programmatic things. Of course, you're going to have dance classes and music classes and art classes. I mean, that's that every park district around the state does that. This is, as Jan said, a subsidy that we're providing in the form of a facility rental that is far below what it's worth. And Jan and I don't think, if I could just presume to say for you, we weren't talking about programmatic spending or losing, if you will, a great deal of money in an area where, Phil, you've got your hand up.
Oh, I do. I appreciate what you're saying about this. And that's why I tried to break my comment into that, because I kind of felt like this was more about that. But however, let me just point out that the agenda item topic says the board shall review LAPD's mission statement as it relates to the arts community. So I hear you. I don't disagree. I feel like what we should think of is what we're looking at Bothwell. We should also look at any other entity who uses our facilities, because I bet we could go down the line and we want to talk about whether an entity is using it at less than market value. In effect, we're subsidizing it. I think we could find that all kinds of, you know, athletic pursuits. I bet there's some of that in the aquatics teams that use our facilities. I mean, I'm not saying we should change that. I'm just saying that my goal here would be to be consistent and not play favorites to one side or another, but would be, you know, to treat everybody equally consistently. And I think that we, our role is we subsidize a lot of these activities that happen, whether it's, you know, soccer or things like that. And I think we just need to be, when we use our facilities for the benefit of the community through another entity, whether it be a sports agency or whether it be a arts agency or something else, we need to be consistent about how we evaluate whether that is just something that we've been doing it that way all the way along, which is not good, or where is something that we should be doing that way for the future, which is what I think we need to do.
Yeah.
I think we're in I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. James
has got his hand up too.
Madam.
I can't remember what it was. Well, I think too, we need a fairly precise definition of what arts community is the package. You know, there's a lot of different entities involved, and James, you got your hand up.
Yeah, James. To add to what Phil said, you know, there's a difference between subsidizing something as opposed to creating a level playing field and having a pricing model that works for different programs. You know, certainly some programs cost more than others because, you know, the cost structure is completely different. So the question becomes, should we, or not just the arts program, but any programs, should we subsidize those? And if we are going to do that, that there's a common understanding that upfront that that's exactly what we're doing. I think everybody agrees, and thanks for the clarification. I think we're all in agreement that there's many art programs that the park provide, that we as an organization provide. I was looking at it differently because it sounded a little funny given the fact that the mission statement is something different. But if we need to check look at the pricing model that we have for that, and if in fact we're renting out the facility for less than market, which obviously we are, then is that acceptable or not acceptable? And need to look at it the way, because obviously there are also tax implications to that. So just some food for thought.
David?
No, not at this moment. Thank you.
Oh, you know, I thought you were waving your hand at me. Guys, where do we want to go with this? Does somebody want to remand it to appeal, or what do we want to do?
Madam Chair, this is Rod Atterbury.
Yes.
Why don't I suggest, I don't see any public on there, but if you could, for the record, ask for public comment and then back to the board for potential action.
Well, we're not, Rod, I don't see us being at the point of deciding anything right at the moment.
May not be, it's an agendized item. And so public comment, okay. Taking public comment is appropriate.
All right, well, if there is public present,
there is
does anyone wish to speak to this subject matter? I'm sorry, what?
I said there is public on the call.
Oh, I was told that there wasn't.
Correct. So. We don't have any comments from public. We don't have any public raising any hands at this point in time. I just asked for the record that you asked for public comment and make sure nobody has any, and then you can go back to the raised hands that are on your screen.
Okay, I thought I had done that. And hearing on, seeing nobody wishing to comment, I'm back to laying it before the other board members. Where do you want to go with this?
Mary Alice, Matt has his hand raised.
Oh, okay. Mr. General Manager?
Yes, thank you. Really, this came up in the form of anticipating questions that are going to be coming to us from the public and from the community of Livermore and the city as we work through some processes. So what I'm hearing is that there's no desire to make a declarative statement that we should continue. My suggestion is we should continue to utilize the processes that are set forward for such things as leases, master property agreements, things like that, that would provide for a recommendation to the board in regards to specifics, if there's no declarative statement here. And that gives me direction if that's in fact the case.
Mary Alice.
Director first. Yeah, I see you.
Yeah, I was trying to find out from Matt or somebody else if the agreement to let LCAC use one of our rooms for free when they have their in-person meetings has ever been codified. Do we have a written agreement with them?
No, we do not. However, we have evidence. I'm not sure how we have good evidence that we were a founding member, and therefore by being a founding member, we were allowing the use of the facility as a partnership. So there was no charge to there was no charge related to that because we were a founding member.
I agree we're a founding member. And although the city doesn't seem to give any benefits to LCAC, we agreed to give them benefit of a free meeting room. But I would contend, though, that if LCAC is going to disenfranchise the LARPD by making us a non-voting member, I think the board needs to take another look at whether we want to continue subsidizing them by giving them a free room instead of charging them market rate. That's it.
And that's I'm sorry to chime in, Madam Chair.
What?
Asking permission to speak.
Yes, please do.
Thank you. That's what I was suggesting by when things change, we utilize the current processes that we have through committee, et cetera, to get to the board for discussion on these types of agreements so that they're fully vetted. So if LCAC were to say, we are no longer a member, then that might change the relationship, but we would verify that by coming to committee and board.
They're working on us being a member, but a non-voting member.
Yeah, I think to the point, I'm sorry, Mary Alice, my little gold hand doesn't work on my computer at the moment. But I think to the point.
Just wave at me.
Yeah, there you go. You know, but I think to the point that Matt's making, I mean, obviously, and what David's making, if in fact, I won't use the term disenfranchising us, but if in fact they're removing us as a voting member, certainly then going back to potentially fair market value on the lease or rental of the space would come into play and would be equitable given all the other arrangements that we have for other facilities that we do in fact rent or lease out.
So, Mr. General Manager, can you sort of distill all of this and make a recommendation for the next step?
Yes, I believe the next step would be for the survey or the report, the consultant's report to come out, and then for the general manager and staff to utilize the processes put in place by the board to take agreements and long-term agreements to the board with an understanding that they'll be discussed in regard to equity, fairness, and how we proceed further. And I specifically have in mind the issues that are, and I'll run down them very quickly. Bothwell leases up on a month to month. The barn is part of the master property agreement, the discussion around providing storage space for arts groups there. Would we want to be the managing partner in that agreement? Carnegie Building, we're not utilizing for any of our programs. Do we still want to be the managing partner at Carnegie? Arts in the parks, things like that. There are processes in place to take these to fruition, but prior to every discussion, the question is asked, what role is LARPD taking in the arts? And I think that what I've heard from the board is that we want to handle those things in a systematic process, considering each relationship and how it fits into our role and the mission. That we're not going to make any declarative statements at this time.
Okay. Everybody happy with that?
I am.
All right, hearing no.
Yes.
Oh, yes, nod or you say something. Yes, well, it sounds like the board thinks that that is process utilize down the road. And barring any further discussion, we will move on to agenda item 4.2, letter to the board from the Livermore Stockman's Rodeo Association. And a copy of that letter was in your board packet. Mr. General Manager.
Before you, Madam Chair.
Huh?
I do have a verbal staff report for you.
Good.
As the board is aware, we've been responding to inquiries about authority, et cetera, where we stand with the rodeo in association to any litigation, et cetera, in the past and our current relationship moving forward. And there, amid some controversy that both in the supervisor's office and also within controversy regarding the last rodeo that had taken place, you would ask that we reach out to the Rodeo Association and see what their response is to those controversies. And I believe the letter that you have received is the response. I've not had any further conversation with the Rodeo Association other than this letter. And I'm tag teaming with your general counsel on this because there has been past litigation. There is some understanding of what our responsibilities are in regards to the rodeo, and they're very limited. And we do not have a current contractual agreement with the Rodeo Association. So I want to caution the board on this discussion that both general counsel and I are paying very close attention as to the direction that this conversation might go. And I'll turn it back to you, Madam Chair.
Well, everybody read the letter.
Mary Alice, you're referring to the letter of August 9th.
From Colby. Yes.
Colby Staza.
Yes. He's the, what is he? He's secretary or yes, something of their board. He didn't put his title on the letter.
It's all right. He's a member of the rodeo board.
Right. I know that. Yeah.
Right.
As I have been most of his family. Again, what do people think? Is this assurance about the future or what do we want to do? James, you got your hand up. Bail out here.
Yeah, I think, Matt, there's some other items that you didn't bring up that I think, aside from Colby's memo to LARPD, there's a myriad of other things that exist, one of which there was a meeting coming up, and there is some countywide ordinances that have been proposed, which I think some of you may or may not have seen.
Yes.
That being said, I've also personally talked to, because I see them daily, members of the rodeo board. As a result of that, I think there are some other issues that go beyond our relationship with the rodeo board. One suggestion at this point I would suggest is that because they are a tenant using the facility, that we keep that relation intact, but not get involved in some of the other issues, because some of those relate to stock. And I'm actually a stockholder in the rodeo as well, but it relates to the use of the facility and how stock events are run. And some of those events, there are people that want to cancel those events, including things like, I'm using this as an example, mutton busting, which is little kids that ride sheep and they fall off, that kind of stuff. They refer to calf roping, and it also refers to wild cow milking, which seemed to be the instigator of some of the dialogue and the events that have occurred over the many years now. That being said, as a safe bet would to not at this juncture get involved in any of that from an LARPD standpoint, only that they are a tenant and use our facility for that event or that annual event that comes about. This is the 102nd year it's been in existence. There's a lot of history behind it, and I'm not going into any of the details of this, but suffice to say that the rodeo board themselves are well aware of all of it and are trying to take a proactive stance and address these issues. And that's why there was a county meeting that was coming up with Halbert to discuss this, but it was canceled effective today. So again, I would just recommend that we sit back and let it play out before we even consider getting involved in any of it, if that at all.
Thanks for your comment. Anybody else have anything they want to say about this? David?
Yeah, thank you. This is not the letter I was expecting from the Rodeo Association. Matt, I had asked for what their reaction was to the complaints. This is basically a letter saying, we love you, LARPD. We'll see you next year. I wanted to know specifically the letter that the Rodeo Association has been sending out to the people who have made complaints against the behavior by the clown at the rodeo. Did they actually respond in writing? If so, I would like to see what their response was, not to comment on it, to critique it, to countermand it, but to know what they are actually saying to the people who have complained. Not this letter saying hi, goodbye. Do we have access to that information?
We do not at this time.
Can you ask for that information? Does the board want Matt to ask for that information to find out what the Rodeo Association is actually saying to the people who are complaining or have complained?
Okay with me. I thought the general manager had already asked for that. What?
Director Boswell has his hand up.
Yes, okay.
Sorry, Mary Ellen. Like I said, my little gold finger hand doesn't work. To the point that David made, I think because the request has been made, we are entitled to that response. That being said, it's not clear to me that they are actually responding to the complaints of everybody that has sent complaints in. But be that as it may, you requested, it was requested before, and I agree, this is not that letter, and we had requested it for obvious reasons. We wanted to hear what their response was. And that's not included in the other items that I discussed earlier.
So are we back to directing the general manager to request this correspondence from LSRA?
Well, I think Sheila's aware of it, so somebody has to call Sheila and say.
No, she's aware of it, yes.
The information went to Sheila.
Is that what we are directing the general manager to do? To request from LSRA copies of any correspondence that they have received from members of the public complaining about, David, are you talking specifically about the clown's behavior?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. General Manager, are you getting that?
Yes, I'm understanding what you're asking me for. I might get a similar response. I have no problem asking again or asking specifically for their responses. However, I will defer to General Counsel at this time if we have any recourse if we do not get the answer we want.
Yeah, I would need to look at what type of entity they are. I don't actually know whether they are subject to Public Records Act or subject to disclosure of documents. Matt, why don't you and I talk offline? And I think I have a way to ask for it specifically, any and all communication, and see what they say. I do want to, you know, heed Director Boswell's comments that we do need to make sure that we're asking specifically regarding the incident and the complaints that they received regarding the last rodeo, and not some other issues, but only as to the last rodeo with respect to the clown. I don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we become the holder of additional documents as a public entity ourselves, subject to the Public Records Act. And if we're trying to think about contract and the past litigation, I want to try to avoid that. So I do think we can make that request, but I am with your general manager that you may not get anything. And I don't know off the top of my head what the recourse is at this point in time.
Well, please do keep us posted.
And Madam Chair, you do have Director.
Phil, you've got your hand up.
I do, thanks. I want to make two comments.
I can see him. Yes, thank you.
I just said I want to make two comments. And I'm going to preface it by saying I've always been a huge supporter of the rodeo, and I enjoy it. And I've grown up with my parents owning a ranch and things like that. So I say this with deference. But what I'm going to say is two things. That is, I want to know either how they responded to the people who are asking specifically about the clown. I'm not worried about the ordinances proposed to county or any of that kind of stuff. I want to know about that. And I also want to know about, I mean, I'd like to know what they, what action they took. And I, the reason though is not, is because we're a team in a sense, and you know, we own the property. We're part of the rodeo history. And I want to know, I don't want to be responding to the public about something if they ask me without the right information. I mean, I don't want to not know that piece. And I don't think that's unreasonable to say, hey, by the way, we had asked you this, you know, can you please let us know? We're trying to make sure that we, you know, that we have our facts straight, that we don't say something about the rodeo that isn't accurate. This is, I get the fact very, very clearly, this is touchy because this is an issue, not a speech, it's an issue of viewpoint. And for amateur lawyers or lawyers out there, that does make a difference. But I just want to know, I'm not trying to delve into them. I just want to know because I want to be able to represent the situation properly to any public who asks me. So that's one comment. The other comment is, I understand the shortness or the brevity of the letter. I don't like the last paragraph that says, I hope you enjoyed the complimentary tickets and the swag and that kind of stuff. I think that was way out of line. And I tell you what, if Matt wrote a letter to the rodeo and said, I hope you've enjoyed all these facilities that we own, that we let you use for the last umpteen years, I would be really pissed at Matt for writing that in a letter too. So it's two-way street. It's not that this is like a gut punch at the end. I mean, if we could easily say something like that, and if we did, I would feel very upset at whoever did it. So I'm not trying to drive an inconsistent or unreasonable bus here. I just think that statement was not okay. So that's my two cents.
It's disingenuous. It's inappropriate.
Totally.
Mary Alice, yeah. May I speak?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to the rodeo and I'm not opposed to their behavior. I'm trying to get clarification. And on the August 9th letter in the middle paragraph, it says, I understand there have been some shared concerns regarding the comments of our contracted clown. To ease concerns, this has been addressed. Matt, what I'm asking you to find out is how did they address it? Did they send letters to the people who complained? Did they have an internal discussion? What did they do? Again, I'm not trying to critique it, criticize their response. I'm trying to find out how they addressed it, which they claim they have.
For that clarification, I think based on what Director Pierpont has said and what you've just said, I can approach it from the standpoint of we'd like to be informed so that we can reply appropriately to the questions that come to us, not threatening any relationship, or we're not doing an investigation. We're just trying to represent them well, and we'd like to know how they responded so we can represent that response. If that's correct, then that's the direction I will go.
That's fine with me.
That's the way I feel.
Yep, that's good.
James?
Yeah, I think we're in agreement. It's just...
May I just say one little thing here, please? When I came 28 years ago onto this board, the Livermore Stockman's Rodeo Association and LARPD had an absolutely horrible relationship. We'd been suing each other and nobody spoke to each other and everybody was angry about everything. And over the last two decades, all of us at LARPD have worked hard, and the people who are in charge now at LSRA have worked really hard to get rid of that adversarial attitude on both sides. And I like us to keep in mind that they're not our enemies, they're our partners. And we've got that multi-million dollar facility over there that was built as a rodeo arena. And I would hate for anything to jeopardize its continued use as a rodeo arena. So anyway, that's my two cents right now. Okay, if we've beaten that to death, let's move on to agenda item number 5, informational items, 2 standing items, general financial update and COVID-19 program update. Mr. GM?
Yes, we continue to be in good financial standing. We're actually better than budget at this time, and Mr. Schneider is looking into the details on that so that he can report directly to the Finance Committee and then at a future board meeting as to how we did it. I know the managers and supervisors are working very hard to control costs while putting on high quality programs, and our program offerings have increased with time, therefore increasing our revenue as well. We're hiring appropriately, and we have the financial stability to be able to do that. With that general statement, I'll turn it over to Mr. Schneider for any additions.
Matt, thanks. I don't have a lot to add to what you said. In July, our performance versus budget was favorable across the board, meaning our revenue from operations, literally in about every unit, was favorable to budget. Our services and supply expenses were favorable to budget, and our payroll and benefits expense was favorable to budget, roughly in equal chunks for the month. So it was a great start to the year. And as Matt said, we'll pull together more detail and provide it to the Finance Committee when we meet next. The other thing, as Matt said, from a cash perspective, we are right on our expected cash balance. Ahead of it, frankly, because we haven't been invoiced yet for the fields at Robertson Park. So we had assumed we'd at least have been invoiced and would have paid half of that $1.6 million by now in the month of August, but we haven't even been invoiced yet. So when we're invoiced, our forecast should be more in line with actuals by the end of September. So again, we're in good shape and moving according to plan there. And as Matt said, positioned to be able to support what we need to do to provide the resources for our program offerings. So it's a good story. And we have progress on some of the administrative efforts we're undertaking as well. Fixed asset audit, treasury management, and so on. So there's a bit going on in our team, and that's my report, Matt.
Thank you. So the COVID report, Matt?
Yes, thank you. As you all know, at the beginning of summer, we had quite an uptick in COVID cases. They're less serious, but there were more of them. It did affect program a little bit, but we quickly got it under control, and our programs have been able to continue to grow throughout the summer. I do have your program managers on the line. One issue we are working with right now is staffing within our parks group. Coming out of COVID, we were careful to assess our staffing, and it's just becoming clear to us that we need to add some help within the maintenance of the parks and our facilities. And so we will be bringing to you proposals for beefing up our staff. Again, we have the financial ability to do that, and we have the detail in our budgets to understand what those implications mean. And we won't necessarily be adding to our revenue generating programs, but we will be supporting the revenue generating programs at a greater level with an investment in our facilities. And we believe that's necessary, and we'll bring that forward through the process. We are getting ready to start, or school is starting, and so we're ramping back up, and we'll be reporting on our ESS status as that moves forward and our relationship with the school district. You're all aware that Chris Van Schaak was named the superintendent for LV Joint Unified School District, so there's no interruption in service. There's no need to reintroduce us to the school district. So we continue on with those relationships. City staff are getting used to their new city manager, as are we. Relationships are good. We intend to have regular meetings with the city manager and our other partners, and all is well in our program updates. Our fall program just came out. We're open for people making reservations. And if you have any specific questions or questions for your program manager, or I don't believe there are any supervisors on, but if you have questions for either Fred or Jill, they're on this call, and as is Mr. Schneider. And I believe Michelle was on this call, but I think she dropped off to help with the bandwidth. So any questions from the board?
Anybody have any questions? I'm seeing a little hand icon on one of the attendees. Does anybody else see that? No?
No.
Oh. Someone named Tom Tempstra Jr.
I don't have my hand up.
Yeah. Tom Terpstra Jr. is with our office, one of our associates.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, well, let's move on to agenda item number 6, committee reports. Jan, you want to start with program?
Sure. So one of our main topics we just discussed is one of our main topics here tonight, and the rest of the agenda is attached. If anyone has any questions.
What was the rodeo recap? What was said there, please?
The rodeo recap? That's not on
there. Got two different ideas in my head at the same time. Little League World Series recap.
I can let Matt tell you that.
That was just a general overview of the success of the Little League World Series. The team that won was actually the local team, the Dublin team. And we also received reports from Director Boswell and Chair Faltings on their first pitch, as well as discussions about the facility, how the facility looked, was utilized, and was it successful given that we'd had some time off for that event. All indications were that that event was highly successful, and that in the future, the expectation is that it will continue to be in Livermore.
Thank you.
Just one little correction there. It was the team from Danville, not Dublin.
Thank you.
That won.
That's an important distinction.
Director Boswell for finance.
Yes. Phil and I went through, and in our meeting, we discussed the financials through June of 2022, which you got a synopsis from Jeff. Further detail is available if you want to inspect that information in detail. In addition to that, we had ample discussion about the fixed asset audit that we had originally requested. Jeff and his team are working diligently on that, and I don't want to spill the beans before it finally bears the fruit, but they are doing simply an outstanding job in every facet. They are getting down under the covers, and I think that if you're not aware, just when you get an audit and you see the plaque up on the wall, that is not usually a detailed audit. And so as a result of that, that is just an audit of the management reports that are provided to the auditors as the inspector reports to make sure they're copacetic. And that's what the plaque means. But what the fixed asset audit actually does, it gets down into the accounts and the physical assets and actually gets into the paperwork to make sure that we are actually accounting for everything that we should, and that we have backup data and documentation to go with it. and our insurance coverage and everything else related to it, including our financial reports, are 100% accurate. And I will say, as I said a minute ago, Jeff and his team are doing an outstanding job on that. And we're very deeply looking forward to the results when it gets to that. And certainly we're going to present that to the board. We also reviewed various agreements with some of the facilities that we have in place, just reviewed it on a broad level. We didn't go through all the gory detail of each one of those, but there are some of those that will get reviewed when the fixed asset audit is done, and you'll probably be getting some recommendations to go with that. Other than that, Phil, do you have any comments you want to make?
Nope, nothing to add there.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Actually, James, I'm going to ask you to stay on for intergovernmental, because unfortunately I had to miss that meeting.
Sure. I'm looking at the I'm sorry.
On August 25, intergovernmental.
Yep. I'm looking at basically, you know, most of the dialogue and discussion that we had, and Matt, you were there as well. The Livermore Joint Unified School District touched on the bond measure, and there was reasonable discussion on that. The Isabel plan and the impact on the schools, as well as you can see in the agenda, most of that stuff is on there. I did not hear anything other than that was anything that we needed to. Basically, there were no action items for us in that context, but there was a lot of discussion and dialogue about working together, and that everybody was definitely pleased with the work that all of the people in the intergovernmental groups working together have been doing an outstanding job linking the programs together, and that was a positive note that had come out of it. I don't know if you have anything else other than that, Matt.
Hey, James, I have a question for you.
Sure.
But, second one on the agenda, the Holmes Street underpass, that happens to be something that I get asked about a lot. So I'm curious as to what the discussion was.
Yeah, I didn't participate in that. Matt, do you have anything on that?
There was actually no discussion about that because the city manager wanted to be brought up to speed, and there is litigation involved. Yes.
And there's more. I had actually a packet with me ready to discuss that. So nothing, I didn't get anything out of that as far as Matt pointed out, a discussion or dialogue. But there's a lot of information about, because that comes up a lot, about the ownership of the property from the little overpass, if you will, or underpass going. It would be eastbound as opposed to westbound, where the DMARC is, and the responsibility of the state versus the county versus the park district versus zone 7 and all the other parties involved, including groups that clean up the actual creek itself. So there is some information available, but certainly as Matt pointed out, I did, and myself as well, they didn't really open up the point on the agenda for discussion or dialogue. So
okay, thank you.
Okay, then lastly is Phil for Livermore Downtown Inc.
Unfortunately, I have nothing to report because I was at the last minute unable to attend that meeting. That was Quinn's first day of school. And I got stuck at the school a lot longer than I expected for drop off. I was going to drop him off and then get on the meeting right after that. And it didn't exactly go as planned. And I was at the school for a lot longer than I expected because of the start of the school year festivities, especially for little kindergartners like Quinn, which the fact that he's in school already is amazing to me. But nonetheless, and so by the time I was done with that, the meeting was all but concluded. So I apologize for that.
Well, you'll catch us up later.
Indeed. And, okay. And there's a lot going on. It's a lot of the same stuff that's been happening. So.
Yeah. Okay. That brings us to matters initiated and or announcements by the directors. Anybody may want to announce?
I do.
Let's go in order. I'm sorry. That's too. Let's start with James.
I have nothing.
Okay. David?
Nothing. Thank you.
Jan?
Yeah, I have two things really quickly. I wanted to, most of you already know, but and just in case there are some people on the call or somebody that listens to this later, I just wanted to update everyone on my running for Ward 5 for the East Bay Regional Park District. When we had our last board meeting, I had just filed partial papers for that position. And the following day, Olivia San Wong came out with a press release announcing her candidacy and that she was being endorsed by the incumbent. And she also listed her priorities for the position. And I saw that her priorities were so similar to mine, it no longer made sense for me to continue with my candidacy. So I called her the following day and told her I would not be completing my filing and that I would be supporting her and asking for her to become more involved with LARPD, which she said she would do. So that's one. The second one is Alameda County has a committee called the Agricultural Committee, and that committee has formed a subcommittee on trails, predominantly to work with the ranchers and other people who own property that are could be used for trails or that abut other properties where there are trails. And so to kind of work with those people to find out what types of things they might need or want so that we might be able to help with more trails happening more quickly. And we had kind of a little mini meeting yesterday on the Arroyo Road trail that the city's doing. So they asked me to be the liaison from LARPD.
Good, thanks. Phil?
No, I'm good, but I see James has got his hand up now.
Yeah, well, if I can add to
it. I'm sorry, who?
It's me, Mary Alice, James.
Oh, okay, you again, all right.
Sorry, to add what Jan said, the Agricultural Committee has got a myriad of things going on in extending those trails actually through the vineyards as well, not just in some of the areas that we have, but also through Zone 7 properties. And there has been a whole process in place to extend the sewer lines down Tesla Road, which would allow for expansion of other things without going into detail. But there's the intent to put trails through the vineyards so people can ride their bikes through the vineyards as well. So, and then David Lunn, who used to work for Zone 7, has also been working with the Agricultural Committee and also doing some of the trails work and maps, et cetera. If you haven't already seen that, Chad, I can provide you with some of that information as well.
Okay, thanks. And as we are required to do, and there were four of us there this morning, the Tri-Valley Mayor's Conference put on by the Chamber of Commerce was held this morning in Dublin, and I attended, and I was late, unfortunately. I had transportation problems, but other than that, the part that I was there for was very interesting. So I want to make sure I report on that because we are required to report when we attend something on behalf of the Park District. Okay. An announcement.
Mary Alice.
By the general manager.
Mary Alice. There were four of us at that meeting.
Yeah. I
think that maybe Rod can advise, but don't all four of us need to report out?
Yep.
You can all indicate who attended. I think you've got a report, but yes, indicate who was the one that did not attend.
Phil, are you going to fess up?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely not me.
Then the record reflects that all other members attended, and you have a report from your chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, member first.
Okay, so matters initiated by the general manager now.
I have two items to report to you that have become developments this week. One, we were contacted by the Altamont Winds LLC Corporation, who have been putting windmills in the Altamont area and are required by the Army Corps of Engineers to mitigate for some of the work that they had done and potentially some violations. Their attempt at mitigation, or what they're trying to do, is to work with the California Indian Water Commission, which is a coalition of tribes, to get access to Brushy Peak, which brings us into the discussion. And we're in early discussions about that. I did speak to the SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Officer, who's aware of the project, aware of the mitigations, and aware of the violations. California Indian Water Commission is the authorized agency to be doing these negotiations. And so therefore, in the early stages of these discussions, I have nothing to report of substance. However, I will be reporting back very, very carefully to the board, because ultimately, if we do enter into a mitigation agreement, it will have to be approved, obviously, by the board. The second item is that we did receive a proposal from California Water. Correct me, Mr. Schneider, if I'm saying this improperly, but they wanted to buy land in Robertson Park. We advised them we're not interested at this time in just a land buy proposal. We wanted to see proposals that we could take forward to the board that included lease options. And they did not provide that at this time. In addition, the locations they provided are prime parking locations and would not be appropriate for a well. And we've responded in that same language. And so we will continue to bring forward to the board those types of land operation deals to both, well, probably all three committees will be touching on those. And that will end my report.
Thank you. Okay, that brings us to the end of the regular agenda. Now we have open session discussion regarding closed session items pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.7. Mr. Legal Counsel.
Thank you. The LARPD Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session per the item listed on the agenda as 10.1. For those members of the public and staff, I can assure you there will be no reportable action coming out of closed session. This is merely an update to the conference with the labor negotiator as identified on the agenda. This is an update, and no action or no request for any action or direction is being asked for, and none of it would be reportable. So if you wanted to stick around or ask for a report, like I said, I do not anticipate and can assure that I'm not asking for anything that's going to be reportable. With that, Madam Chair, you can adjourn the meeting into closed session.
Question, am I being requested to attend or not?
I am going to ask you without permission. I haven't talked to anybody. I'm going to ask you to stay on just for the introduction. And then if the board would like to excuse you, they'll excuse you. But at least for the introduction part, Matt, I would like you to stay on.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we are adjourning to closed session.